The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to another episode of the North American Wrestling Connection, is sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network here on Spectrum One. My name is not Nikki Haman. Nikki Haman is now over in London for some reason, trying to deal with some paperwork that Paul Heyman dealt with, which we'll talk about a little later on. My name is Jason Block. Of course, you've heard me on many other podcasts here on the network, and I have three of the pretty best panelists on here, at least for tonight, of course. Starting in Tennessee, the chair-swinging freak, my co-host on Pixel Nation, Brian Henniger. Welcome back to the show.
It's been far too long. What it is, everybody?
Mm-hmm. And the second member of our trio is another member who, shall we say, helped me out with the first story this week, VRM.
Oh, I'm doing good. And... Yeah. Oh my gosh, this past week for UFC.
Yes, and the third member on the West Coast, Cindy Seidelman, welcome.
Yes, to everything that I'm doing now, you could add budding stand-up comedian to that.
Yes, there you go. All right, here we go. And let's go back to a week ago Saturday, July 9th, UFC 200, the biggest card in the history of UFC to date, sort of.
Sort of.
Sort of. And we had a title change in the women's division. Boy, did we ever.
Oh. Okay. Very glad that that was the main.
That was the main, yes. Okay. But the fight that everyone wanted to see and everyone was talking about was Brock Lesnar versus Mark Hunt. Now, on Saturday... VRM, Brian, and Gene Aguilera, shall we say, we're on Skype talking about this. VRM and Brian, you both saw the fight. Were you surprised at how Brock dominated in this fight?
I wouldn't exactly say it was dominating, at least not with that second round. But the first and third rounds... He was able to keep that distance away from Hunt, because we've seen if you've seen any videos of Hunt, you've seen his one. He's got one hit KO power behind that, and he kept his distance and he wrestled his way to the win. Because it was the takedowns really that did more than anything else.
All right, Brian. Yeah, but I'm asking, were you surprised that he did that well?
For coming back after so long? Yeah, a little bit.
Brian, what did you think?
I was a bit more surprised, but I wasn't completely surprised. Primarily because Brock Lesnar is a two-time NCAA wrestling champion, and he is a freak of nature as far as a human being. And I mean that in the nicest possible sense. So I wasn't shocked, but I was amazed that it was as dominant a victory as it was. But, hey, he put up a good performance. He wrestled and he boxed and he did everything he's supposed to do to win. And give UFC credit. They actually managed to play nice with a wrestling company for a change.
Yes, we'll get to that in a second. Now, were we around on Thursday? Last week we did talk about the fact that John Bones Jones was taken out of the fight. That, yes, we did. Okay. Or yeah, at least Nikki talked about that. So, We get to the fight. Paul Heyman is in the audience. He didn't walk him down. Let's talk about the nuances that were there. You talked about playing nice, VRM. I'm sorry, Cindy. There were not one, but two WWE-based commercials on the show.
Right, and I think this was part of the deal, because I think WWE has right of first refusal when it comes to Brock, but in his contract, he is allowed to go to UFC for one match, at least one fight, and any more if they can agree on sides. Another thing you have to know about when it comes to this is that during the dealings with Brock and WWE and UFC is that on UFC's streaming service, SummerSlam, they actually agreed to air the pre-show.
So that I did not know. Did you know this, VRM?
I had not heard about this, no.
I remember reading it somewhere that they're going to get the SummerSlam pre-show. It's also going to be available on the network, but UFC will also simulcast it. But this entire fight led me to believe that this isn't the same Brock Lesnar that fought in UFC 5-6 years ago. And back when Brock fought in 2010, 2011, he would kind of get gassed easily. The longer the fight went, the worse off Brock got.
Not unlike a young Mike Tyson.
Right. Brock went the distance, and he didn't look gassed at all.
Yes, but did you see what shape he was in? Holy crap! I mean, damn, son!
That's what an 8-week training camp does.
For Brock.
Yeah.
And apparently tested negative for all of his tests. I mean, he was tested, eight times over the last 4 weeks?
Yeah. Hey, John Jones.
Yeah, by the
USADA, right?
Yeah, yep. By U.S. Anti-Doping Agency, which is the U.S. Affiliate of the World Anti-Doping Agency, which are the people who test for the Olympics, the Tour de France, all the major world championships. So wellness policy catches some things and does this list. USADA, they go the laundry list. They do everything.
And the fact that he tested clean, hey, John Jones, fuck you. Seriously. Fuck you.
I feel so bad for Dan Cormier. If you've seen the clip of when Dana tells him that that Jones tested positive, and you should see the anguish.
The rage. Rage, yeah. It's rage, okay? And you know, so we move on to this. Okay. So WWE was shown to the event. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the post fight press conference, okay? Because that's the most telling, I think.
The post fight press or the post fight interview?
Both of them. The post fight interview, Brock was awesome. You said Brock was actually classy
and humble.
which as we know, Brian, Brock does not do humble very well.
No, he doesn't. I mean, look, he's a dangerous man. He doesn't mind telling people he's a dangerous man. But, you know, give him credit. He was classy. He said all the right things. And after the last couple of weeks UFC has had, they needed that, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. So let's go again back to the post-fight press conference. Brock says, well, I'm fighting Randy Orton on August 21st. Then, who knows? I ask point blank one more time. Is Brock done with the UFC? Starting with you, Cindy.
No. He is not done. He'll have a couple more fights. And my prediction, it will be, he's going to fight at he's going to be at WrestleMania. He's going to have a match at WrestleMania. But 2 months before that, in January, here's my bold prediction. Brock Lesnar versus Junior Dos Santos.
Ooh!
And here's why I'm saying that, because after the fight and Brock Lesnar pretty much beat Mark Hunt to a pulp, Junior Dos Santos sounds off on Twitter. So, me thinks this has been in the works for some time. He's going to get 6 months, actually a few months to prepare, because you know he'll do something with Orton. That's going to lead probably until like October.
Well, do you think he does SummerSlam, he does Survivor Series, and then WrestleMania with a fight in between? Is that what you're thinking?
I'm going to say he does Rumble, he's going to do the October pay-per-view, and he'll do a spot at the Rumble, hyping up a WrestleMania match. Then he does his fight, and then the WrestleMania match. He'll be on a couple of Raws before WrestleMania to probably get some ring rust off of him. Maybe slap around Heath Slater some more.
That's too soon. I was about to say, is the MSG show too soon? And yeah, that's a little too soon.
That's November, right?
Yeah, I think that's a little too soon for another...
January. I'm saying January.
All right. Because what I'm thinking is, if there's a show in January, he works up to Survivor Series. That leads into an 8-week camp to prepare. So the question now is it Dos Santos because of the Twitter drawing, or
the rematch with Cain Velasquez?
Exactly.
Because Cain Velasquez crushed somebody.
Velasquez fought and destroyed Travis Brown at 457 of the first round, TKO.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I don't know if y'all heard this or if y'all heard this or not. We forgot to mention, not only did he get a win, not only did he get some publicity, Mr. Lesnar got paid.
We'll get there.
We'll get there because we're gonna talk about that in a second. But I'm just gonna ask you, Brian, is he done or no?
UFC? No, because UFC can't afford not to let him fight for them anymore. Cannot afford to not let him be a draw for them. Because right now, Ronda Rousey is hurt. John Bone Jones is going to be out for God knows how long. Conor McGregor may or may not be retiring. CM Punk apparently had a hangnail, so he had his fight canceled.
He's fighting at 202, supposedly.
Right now he's fighting at 202. But you wait, he'll have a bad headache and he won't be able to make that fight either. Anyway. But they need a draw right now. Lesnar is the biggest legitimate draw UFC has. So you know damn well he's not done. They can't afford to let him be done right now.
So in other words, Dana and Vince are going to talk. They got to have a coffee one more time.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they'll have coffee. They might even have a biscotti. You don't know.
Yes, exactly. But you see, the thing is with that, you see, As I was going to say, and thank you for reminding me, Brian, on this one, Brock got paid, and I mean got paid, $2.5 million for the one fight. And yeah. You want to know something? That's underpaid, okay? Believe it or not, that's underpaid. Because he's the one, because Conor McGregor, who was fighting at 202, and by the way, he is also one of the athletes who posed in the body issue for ESPN right now. He's butt-ass naked in it, by the way. So he's, you know, McGregor is not fighting till, what, 202? CM Punk's not fighting till 202. Lesnar needs to, you know, get the fight done. And right now, I think UFC can afford to pay him because right. Oh, hold on, Cindy. Do you know why? Because
Something tells there's a something tells me that the long, long story of Dana trying to sell, or actually Zuffa trying to sell UFC, actually went through.
Yes, it did.
And let's preface this. So, back in 2000, in late 90s, early 2000s, SEG, the company that ran UFC, was on the brink of bankruptcy. Station Casino's executives Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta and Dana White bailed them out. 2001, they bought UFC for $2 million.
Wow!
$2 million.
Well, watch this return on investment, folks. That's a segue.
Yeah, this past week, Zuffa sold UFC to sports management group WMEIMG for a 2,000% profit. $4 billion.
Ow!
Actually, you said 2,000% profit? Mm-mm.
It's 20,000. Is it 20,000%?
No, not 20,000%. Hold on. Let me get my calculator out.
Yeah,
I think it'd be like it'd be like 2,000,000%.
Is it 2,000,000%?
No, it's because 2 million times 2,000 is 4 billion.
It's 200,000%.
200,000?
Yeah. Because it's 2,000 times what they paid for it. And when you deal with percentages, you have to add an extra 2 zeros to it.
Wow. Okay, but still, that's a big
huge profit, still.
Okay, and here's the crazy thing. Dana White's staying on. I believe he gets a percentage of the profits. And what did he get? What is his net worth now? About $500 million to the point of something like that?
Yeah, I think he retains about 9%. And stays on as president.
Yep.
And the Fertitta brothers get a slight percentage, but they're gone.
Yeah, Fertitta. Yeah, Lorenzo is stepping down as what was he? Was CEO or
COO or something like that? But still, holy crap!
All right.
Well, but I got to ask you something now. Let's put that in perspective. Let's say, for argument's sake, the UFC we know is worth $4 billion. How much is the WWE worth?
More than that, probably.
No. I'd say about half that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think the network is actually worth more than anything else.
Yeah, network's worth about about 500-600 million.
Okay.
Then that also includes all the back library that they have, which is massive. Then you got all the talent contracts, all of the stuff, which is including the cameras, the Stanford building, which has got to be at least 8 figures by itself. So you're dealing with $2 million. And plus, we have to remember now that WWE isn't the juggernaut that it used to be. The only money-making thing they have, really, is the network, which is now in profitable territory, I do believe. Is that right, Jason? Something like, what, 1.8, 1.9 million subscribers?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Which now makes it profitable.
But it's insane. Put it to you this way. Do you think they overpaid, or do you think that's about right for UFC?
I'm going to say overpaid, but because UFC is so hot. Because before Lesnar came back, what was the biggest name in UFC? Ronda Rousey. Guess who's going to be, who just started a ad campaign about Never Perfect? Ronda Rousey. So expect her back come May.
Yeah, and expect a very different women's bantamweight division from when she left.
Because you have more contenders.
Yep.
Yeah. So what? Let's talk about that, shall we?
Yeah, because I got something to get off. I need to get off my chest about this.
Oh yeah, and then we'll move on because this is not the UFC show, but Brock got us there. You know that.
Oh yeah. So the main event of the night: Amanda Nunes versus Miesha Tate for the women's bantamweight title.
Who was, and, by the way, the third person to hold it in three fights? Correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Went from Ronda Rousey to Holly Holm to Miesha Tate,
and then Amanda Nunes cracked Tate in the nose, broke her nose, just started beating. It was pretty brutal. And then she locks in rear naked, and this is a fitting time. And Tate starts tapping as Nunes 316 says, "I'm the new women's bantamweight champ."
Uh-huh.
316 of the first round, rear naked choke.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Nunes deserved it. I mean, she controlled that match, controlled the fight all throughout. But now I'd like to get something off my chest when it comes to this fight. This all has nothing to do with the fight, because the fight was great. It has to do with the fans afterwards. A lot of fans, including a friend of ours who I won't name, was all gleeful when Miesha Tate tapped out immediately. Pretty much calling her spineless. Now, listen. This is just simple fact. If you know you can't get out of that hold, what's the smart thing to do, Jason?
You tap. You get that. You tap because you realize you don't want your body to be hurt and or broken, you see.
Yep.
And in her case, breathing's probably a lot more difficult right now because not only is her throat getting constricted, but she's also got a broken nose.
Yeah, so her nose is gone too. And you have all these fans saying that she's a chicken wuss, that she's not a real fighter unless you pass out and all stuff like that. Fuck off! Seriously, fuck off! A real fighter knows when to call it quits, when to know how to call it a day. Being a real fighter is not passing out in the middle of a fight. It doesn't make you a real fighter, it makes you an idiot.
Exactly. All right,
When Brock Lesnar was caught by Frank Mir in the knee bar in his first fight, and he knew he couldn't get out of it, what did he do? Did he sit there and wait for his leg to get broken? No, he tapped out.
There you go. Let's move on.
Well, it's like the old expression they like to use, tap or snap.
Yes, exactly. So your boy, Mr. Heyman, where Nikki is right now, he's in England right now. And he's on a speaking tour, not unlike, the Jim Ross things and other wrestlers do this. So he invites a guy who is actually one of the hottest independents, if not the hottest independent in the round, named Will Ospreay. And there's a video out there, and if you've seen it, he hands Mr. Ospreay a contract and a piece of paper saying Evolve wants you to wrestle for them. Now, Brian, I'm going to ask you this. How fascinating is this little development that happened over the week?
It's pretty amazing because, we all know that WWE now has a working agreement with Evolve.
Correct.
And I think it's kind of cool that they're essentially wanting to use Evolve as a stepping stone, so, sort of like what they were doing, if you remember, with Florida Championship Wrestling, USWA, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, using it as a independent promotion where they can groom new talent. So this is a really cool thing. It helps Evolve out. It helps WWE out. Makes Will Ospreay look better. I think it's a great thing.
Cindy, I'll ask you, does this mean that WWE wants him? Or do you think, and is Heyman working as an agent? Is this an independent thing? What do you think?
I think there's no question WWE wants him. It's just a matter of everybody wants him. I mean, you have ROH trying to make a play. You have New Japan trying to make a play. And the big thing is, he's got a big-time match coming up soon against Vader, which has been confirmed. So I think what's going to happen is Will Ospreay is going to use that Vader match to tell himself to get himself ready for the behemoths in WWE.
Mm-hmm.
And my feeling is this. Vader's not going to play nice with Will Ospreay, and I don't think a lot of the big guys in WWE would play nice to him either, because Will Ospreay does kind of have a reputation of being a little showboaty to the point of pissing off a lot of the boys, as a matter of speaking. So Ospreay's going to do the Vader match and say, can I handle WWE if I can handle Vader? If he can handle Vader, he'll go to WWE. If he can't, then more than likely he'll wind up in New Japan.
VRM, what do you think?
Sounds like he's got a bit of a free agent war going on for him right now.
But I think it's awesome. I mean, have you seen the video, right?
I have not, no.
Okay, check it out. It's real interesting. So, we move on to the last Monday and Thursday shows before we go live Monday and Tuesday night and before the draft. Okay. The big, yeah,
which
okay.
I'm raging about because I was in Worcester this week.
Uh huh. So, let's start with the big news that came out of Raw this week, that Steph is now in charge of Raw, and Shane is in charge of SmackDown, but they have to have general managers. The rumor is going that SmackDown is going to have Daniel Bryan as the general manager, with Steph and Shane now putting, you know, is now in the Vince McMahon role. I'll ask you, Brian, what did you think of the ending, and who is going to be the Raw general manager, do you think?
Well, I like that Shane is sticking around, because I love Shane McMahon. And I think it's great that the ending, I like the fact that he's now going to be in charge of SmackDown. As far as who they're going to put in, they don't want to get rid of Daniel Bryan because they don't want him getting back on the independent circuit and conceivably, you know, getting crippled because he's had concussion issues. He's a known name and a known draw. It'd be great to see the dynamic between him and Stephanie McMahon if he ran the place. I say go for it. Let him be in charge. That'd be kind of fun to watch. I'd be in favor of it.
But I'm asking you, who's going to be the Monday Night Raw general manager? Who do you think?
I would say Stephanie McMahon.
Wait, but Stephanie McMahon is runs Raw. So you're saying that she's not going to appoint anybody?
She may not. She's a McMahon. She doesn't have to. If she appoints somebody, though, I don't know who they could. I mean, it's so wide open. I'm not sure who they could do it. They could bring in John Laurinaitis just to make everyone angry again. But I don't know who they're going to pick.
Okay, VRM, do you have any idea?
I have an idea.
Okay.
So we've seen all these past GMs showing up. We had Johnny Ace, you've had Teddy Long, you've had Vicky. There's one Raw general manager who has not shown up yet.
Okay.
I don't know what his current relationship is with everybody in Stamford, but is there a DVD coming out sooner?
Soon, or, I think.
Because I'm thinking it's someone we haven't seen yet, and I'm thinking it's Eric Bischoff.
Interesting. Cindy, what do you think?
To be honest, I think even though the brand thing is leaked, they could easily switch it. And my feeling is they are going to switch it because I could easily see Ronaldo and Brian doing commentary as they were doing in the Cruiserweight Classic.
We'll get to that, by the way.
Okay.
We will get.
All right. I just need to mention who I think GMs will be. To be honest, when it comes to SmackDown, I honestly could see them bringing in Regal. But I'm going to throw a curveball for Raw. Who's been the biggest champion of the Authority ever since they were announced?
Okay. Who?
Jibble.
JBL? Really?
Really?
Yep.
Now that is a surprising decision, if you want my opinion.
Well, let me explain this decision. The reason that Shane might pick Regal is because there's going to be a big NXT wave coming in, my personal opinion, coming in the draft. So you're going to have both general managers of NXT that are still alive, rest in peace, Dusty Rhodes, will be your GMs of Raw and SmackDown. And plus, the best news about this is it gets JBL out of the booth. Bet news is we're still going to be stuck with Saxton.
So let me actually transition into that. Let's talk about the draft on Tuesday night. SmackDown or Raw is going to have it's the WWE draft show. I don't know if it's going to be 2 hours or three, but we're going to have the draft. How many people from NXT come on? Cindy, you said there's going to be an influx. How many?
I'm going to say six.
Okay.
You're going to get American Alpha called up.
Okay.
Because they've done all they could do in NXT. And they're, in my opinion, are the most Big Show ready.
Okay.
You're going to see Rhino come up.
Okay.
For the ladies, you're going to see Bayley come up.
Right.
Finally.
Yeah.
By the way, she might be there. Oh, that's right, because she might be announced on Tuesday or Monday. We don't know. But go on. We'll talk about that in a minute. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wrecking my brain. Balor, obviously, because of what happened yesterday at NXT.
Yes, and by the way, go watch that, please. Watch it twice. And then watch it again.
Yes. Put it on a loop. Watch it in the background while you're doing your chores.
Yeah, it's that good.
That's what I did.
And by the way, Cindy.
Yeah.
If I can do maybe a little side mission to talk about sort of a crossover between this and Pixel Nation, the new WWE video game coming out later this year is going to, according to them, have a huge NXT mode.
Well, actually, it's not just a huge NXT mode, but an NXT edition. Okay. There's an NXT for $99.99, I believe it is. You get to play, you get three playable characters plus the Goldberg preview, which is Nia Jax, Apollo Crews, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Okay. You get an autographed Rob Schamberger print by Nakamura, a WWE Tops ring card with the mat from NXT TakeOver London, and an 8-inch, and of course the game, and an 8-inch Finn Balor collectible statue, which, by the way, I've seen. It looks amazing. Looks really good. Really good. And I think this collectible edition is going to sell out really fast. Because, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, without a doubt.
So, yeah.
God, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around the sixth.
All right, so Let me go back.
Yeah.
Brian, who's coming up?
Okay. Nakamura.
Oh, you think Nakamura's coming up? Okay.
Nope.
I think Nakamura. Well, he's the hottest name in wrestling right now. That's not a homegrown WWE guy. So they got to. I think they'll bring
except
him up.
For, wrong because because he's got a little bit of a problem. You see, on NXT TakeOver in Brooklyn, which I will be at, by the way. Hint, hint. Nakamura.
Nudge.
He's going to be fighting Samoa Joe in the main event for the title.
Okay.
Okay. So unless, you know, he comes back and forth, I think Nakamura is going to be in NXT at least for another year. But go on. Who else you got?
Okay. Bayley.
Yes.
Apollo Crews.
Well, he's up there permanently. So.
All right. Let's see. American Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
They got to bring them up. And let's see. I'm trying to think who else they could be bringing up. Since I think they want to have more women, I would think that they might want to bring up Nia Jax.
Okay.
Nia Jax. And so they can do the hype bros in WWE. I'll say Mojo Rawley.
Okay. Then I ask you, VRM, who you got?
Definitely Bayley, Balor. I don't watch enough NXT to know any of the other names. I'm sorry. I think it might be a little early for Nakamura still. And that's what I get for not watching NXT.
All right. Chris Waters will punish you later. I think you're right about Bayley and Balor. I think that American Alpha, you see those four, and maybe one more in Nia Jax. I think those five are definitely coming up on Tuesday, but we'll see. Because I think Samoa Joe and Nakamura are going to fight for the belt for a little while. Because remember, you got a lot of young talent in the Florida circuit that needs to be brought up. And including that team, that Australian team, TM61, that team is going to do very well. You know what I'm talking about, right? People?
Yes.
So, we go back to Raw, and I want to talk about something else. Let's talk about Final Deletion 2.0, shall we? The New Day went to the Wyatt compound and had a little bit of a brawl and then left. Brian, you saw this one. Thoughts?
I saw it. There was a distinct lack of dilapidated boats.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was good for what it was. Obviously, they were trying to do their own version of the Final Deletion, because who would have thought that that would be a huge draw for TNA? Seriously, who would have thought that that would pop them a huge rating?
Right.
But, you know, for what it was, I think it was a good idea. I like that they took it a bit more seriously, that it wasn't just them trying to out crazy Final Deletion, where they actually brought in some really good stuff in the end. I loved the ending where it looked like they had won, but you see this humongous, just large stand of the fireflies come out, and it's all people holding the lanterns.
Excuse me. Yes.
And I liked it. I thought it was kind of cool. Kudos to the New Day for coming in a pickup truck. And I feel bad for that vintage Cadillac that got destroyed.
Actually, it wasn't a Cadillac. I believe it was either an old 88 or a Buick Riviera. Okay. So.
But anyway, like I said, yeah. I liked it for what it was. And again, I like it when wrestling companies do something a little bit outside the box.
Yes.
You know, as much as I hate that phrase, I like it when they do something just a little bit different. And it was not disrespectful to wrestling. It was a cool idea, in my opinion.
Okay. So, VRM, you monitor the Twitter sphere, don't you?
Yeah, because after the Final Deletion 2.0, Miss Hardy had, as soon as I can find the tweet, Miss Hardy found it and commented on it. Dang it, where's Remy Sky's Twitter?
I will try and find it.
There it is, I got it. So let me wind back to Monday and Tuesday. Where she starts, LMAO, if this shit don't look familiar. real cute, but y'all ain't shit without Benjamin at Benjamin Senior, hashtag Raw. Stop playing. We all know Benjamin Senior is under that goat mask. So yeah, Remy was calling them out.
And also, Senor Benjamin tweeted, Gway Wyatt, Mr. Hardy had dirty redneck gimmick before you were born. Your battlefield is looking bad. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which then prompted some response from Bray. So Twitter war engage. Love me or hate me, I am the single most creative thing this industry has seen this century. Constantly imitated, but there is only one me. Lest we forget, without Bray Wyatt, perhaps no one would have been hashtag broken in the first place. Go ahead, lie, and say it isn't true, hashtag I am the way. Which prompted this response from Remy Sky. Ooh, I'm telling Vince! Thanks for the hashtag broken shout-out, Monkey Doo.
To which Bray Wyatt replied, oh, yeah? And Remy Sky replied, yeah!
No. But seriously, though, okay, was it a rip? Yeah, it was a rip! It was an absolute rip, but you want to know something? It was different.
You're right, it was different. And it kind of ties into something I've been saying for some time. My favorite promotion these days, look, I love WWE, I'll always be a fan of them, but my favorite promotion right now is Lucha Underground. Because their shows, they are wrestling events, they are pro wrestling, okay? But they're different. They make a point to be different from everything else that you see in the world of professional wrestling. Ring of Honor looks the same. WWE looks the same. Even Chikara, to a certain point, looks the same. Lucha Underground is going out of its way to be something different, and the big promotions are taking note. I look at the Final Deletion. I look at the Wyatt New Day fight. I look at that as something you would see on Lucha Underground, where they'd go outside of the arena, and it would still be kind of believable in a wrestling sense. So I love stuff like this because it's doing something that's not been done in a very long time. And here's the important thing, kids, doing it right. And that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah, exactly. So going back to actually Raw, we have a new number one contender for the IC title, and it's Darren Young. Now, here's something very interesting, and something what we would call politically correct. If they put the title on Darren Young at Battleground, because he's fighting The Miz, how interesting and awesome would it be to be the first openly gay wrestling champion in the history of the business? VRM. Anybody?
It'd be a huge deal, although he wouldn't be the first openly gay person in wrestling. You know, Pat Patterson
Yeah, but I'm talking about... But he never... He wasn't gay in 1979 when...
That's true. That's very true. That's very true.
You understand what I mean.
He wasn't out in 1979.
No, he was not. But Darren Young is.
And I think it'd be a huge feather in the cap. It would be, you know, it would be a very, very rare first. And we live in an age now where those are becoming more few and far between. I think it'd be a good thing for the wrestling business. I think it'd be kind of good to see.
Yeah. And, you know, I'll get VRM's opinion in a minute, hopefully. The fact is that, but what did you think of the, what did you think of the fact that they actually put the number one contendership on Darren Young? Interesting?
Interesting, but, you know, they have a lot of, they're showing a lot of, what was it? They're showing a lot of, what's what I'm looking for? A lot of confidence in Darren. And that's a really good thing for me because I think that, you know, we had been afraid that Darren Young was going to be one of those guys who gets, you know, lost in the shuffle and winds up, you know, creative has nothing for you, that kind of thing. The fact that they are still willing to take a gamble on this guy and give him an opportunity to show what he's capable of doing on a major, huge scale, yep, that is something that I like. And it's a great thing. I really enjoy it.
Okay. Then we move on to the fact that we had another shoveling week with Rollins burying Roman Reigns even deeper again. With him trying to be, you know, Jon Stewart, you know, Seth Meyers and whatever, with the Rollins report, with the usual technique of editing the video to make you look good.
Editing.
Yes. But before we get into that, I just wanted to ask you, VRM, what did you think of Darren Young actually getting the shot against The Miz at Battleground?
I didn't see that. I didn't see that. I didn't see the most of Raw. So,
all right, but I'm asking you in general, what do you think of the idea? Okay, of him as the potential first gay intercontinental, openly gay intercontinental champion. You know, things like that. Okay. Yeah. Get back to me. Get back to me on this. But the idea is that the editing was kind of funny. But again, Brian, you know, they're burying Reigns deep. The only person who's doing it, though, is the heel. But still, they're burying him deep.
They are. And if the rumors are to be believed, it's not by accident. Apparently, Mr. McMahon has soured on Mr. Reigns.
Right.
And if the rumors are true, he's, you know, pretty low on him right now. And the rumors are he's very, very high on AJ Styles, which is a good thing. I mean, you know, the wrestling business, one minute you're up, the next minute you're down. I think they are listening to their fans because their fans have shown a dislike of Roman Reigns. And to be honest with you, I think maybe it's finally catching on with the bookers. You know what? We need to keep what audience we have, so we're going to listen to them. And as a result, they've had to make that decision to change the way they are.
Cindy, are you back? Okay, not back. VRM, I mean, again, what do you think of this continued burial of Roman Reigns? Or at least the continued attack on Roman Reigns?
Yeah, the attack, well, it's to be expected from the heel, from the storyline perspective. It does feel like that now it's been a direct target like that for 2 weeks in a row to target it. It feels like it is a start of a D push. Of course, that's nothing. That's also nothing to say about the shots fired by Dean Ambrose in response.
Yes, which was awesome, by the way, and which set up a title match for this coming Monday on Raw, Ambrose defending against Rollins one-on-one. Quick question. We don't see a title switch, do we? No.
No.
Yes? No, maybe?
No.
Not Monday. Okay. Maybe the pay-per-view, but not Monday.
Okay. But
like I said, Ambrose fired some shots.
Yeah, he did. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so when he started calling out Ambrose comes out, he starts calling out Rollins for his TV magic with doing the editing, which Dean is no stranger to using editing to make a point or video recording. By the way, Seth, next time you wanna edit the video to make it look like it's real, make sure you match the backgrounds of your clips. And
there were about five different, you know, five different interviews. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, but a key line of Dean Ambrose was that he was there, and quote unquote, not chasing fantasies in another sport.
Ow. Yeah, there's a shot against somebody.
Yeah, a certain blonde-headed hunting enthusiast.
You think it was him? I think it was somebody else, actually. Yeah.
Well, when I asked you, you said it was both.
It could be both. Yeah. Probably both.
I think it's more on the one side than it's the other, because let's face facts. Lesnar's a UFC champion. He is the former UFC heavyweight champion. So for him, it's not so much a fantasy. It's just him trying to recover the quote unquote glory days of 2009. 2010. But somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Pay attention to me! That guy. I think it was a shot at Punk. And a shot at Lesnar, to be honest. Okay?
It was a shot across the bow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah. That's fine. Shoot away, because he hasn't fought yet. He hasn't won. So,
he may I'm okay never. With that's, but that's my opinion.
Right, but again, it's all good, you know. So, again, it's one of those things where it was a good shot. By the way, Owens and Zayn will never be sending Christmas cards together, or at least in the front they will, you know. And you could get a Fight Forever T-shirt at WWEShop.com. And I can actually show you what that is if you're interested.
I would be.
Just hold on. Let me get there. The NXT edition, by the way, I'm looking at the shop at WWE.com. The NXT edition for PS4 is $99.99, just to let you know. And they are still making it for the PS3 and the Xbox 360 as well, which I'm very shocked that they are.
Yeah, I am very, very surprised.
You know, but hey. So, let's see. There's also a Sami Zayn Rob Schamberger shirt. There is, I'm not trying to get the legends, I'm trying to get the new stuff. Let's see. Kevin Owens, here we go. Just looking here. Here it is. Sammy's here. This is a damn cool shirt. I might get this just because. Take a look at this, gentlemen and ladies. There we go. There it is right there. Check it out. What do you think?
Ooh.
That's pretty awesome, isn't it?
I'm reaching for the wallet.
Really? Are you already?
I'm having
bad.
To tell myself, Brian, you're going to T-Kona. You're going to T-Kona, Brian.
Yes, that's a great shirt. And let's see. So there's that. So we still had more. We still had more. More club and Enzo stuff. AJ and the club tried to, you know, wanted to beat up John Cena, but he was rehearsing at the ESPYs. Okay,
which is code.
Well, we didn't think it was code, to be honest. So the club, did the club beat Enzo? No, the Enzo beat the club, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And there was a 3-on-2 beat down until John Cena took the you know, WWE Air Force One, right? WWE Air Force One saves the day and then flies back to LA to kill on the ESPYs.
Which we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. So we have a battleground card, okay, that we're really getting into here. So we have Seth, Ambrose, and Reigns fighting for the title. Owens and Zayn, Darren Young and The Miz, Rusev, who's accepted the challenge of Zack Ryder after Ryder got his ass kicked by Sheamus. Okay. Becky and Natalya. Cena and Enzo and Cass versus the club. This week, New Day and the Wyatts. And then the most interesting match. Charlotte and Dana are teaming. She's not defending the belt. She'll probably do it at SummerSlam. One-on-one against Sasha. But she's going to fight somebody with Sasha and a partner of her choosing at Battleground. Brian, is that the spot that Bayley comes up?
You better believe it, because the fans love her, and this is going to be her moment to shine, in my opinion.
Wow. All right. VRM, do you agree?
It's set up so well for it. So
it's not going to happen? Is that it?
I just wish Mr. Pacheco was back. So the week after this, after what happens, we'll get a new. I'm already seeing the animation, and the scene of, did somebody say, hug?
Yes, exactly, hug, right. Yes, but it's, you know what? It's actually a pretty decent card. But the question is, who's going to go where? Now, let's talk about John Cena for a moment. Because John Cena, yet again, is doing incredible stuff. He just signed a new deal with Hefty Trash Bags. I don't know what, to do a contest of some sort. But this week, he signed a new production deal with a production company to do reality television, right?
Yep.
But then he hosted the ESPYs and absolutely fucking killed it. He fucking killed it. Did you watch any of it, or at least did you see some clips of it?
The only clip I saw of the ESPYs was Sager getting the Jimmy V award.
Okay. Brian?
I got to see part of his monologue. He absolutely killed it. He did an amazing job. And you know what? It really reflects well on WWE that he was able to do that. But look, John Cena has the tools, in my opinion, to be a big-time Hollywood player. And this showed it. I think he's wanting to start transitioning away from wrestling, kind of like what The Rock did. But unlike The Rock, he doesn't want to forget what brought him to the dance.
Right.
So I believe that this is good for him, but I think it's their way of de-escalating his work to where he's not going to be in WWE very, very much longer.
Although there was my favorite line of the monologue.
Oh, yes. The one thing I other thing I did see.
Okay. Where he compared the WWE with regular sports. He said, first, Cleveland winning. No way that could have happened. It had to have been scripted. That wasn't real. But he said, but we have you beat. We have Vince McMahon, a maniacal billionaire trying to pull the strings and control everything that happens, goes around in their sport. And then they flash to Roger Goodell.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Shots fired.
Okay. I mean, it was great. I mean, it was really good. There were a couple of videos he did with Leslie Jones as his life coach. Okay. Leslie Jones from the new Ghostbusters movie. Okay.
Which I will be seeing next week, by the way.
Okay. And also, supposedly he auditioned children for a press conference, which went, you know, cute and all that. And, you know, just a bunch, like I said, a bunch of stuff that went around. But I'm asking you, how awesome was he? I mean, he was really good, right? He was really good. I'm asking you.
Oh, yeah, he was. I mean, he did everything right, and he killed it. And give him all the credit in the world. He made that monologue work. And he's been so super serious in his promos in WWE lately, it's good to see him be funny again.
Oh, and there was also something else that happened. Okay. Shaq was there.
Oh, so, I saw this.
So was the Big Show. We might have our first WrestleMania 33 match already booked.
Because the Big Aristotle challenged the Big Show to a fight at WrestleMania.
VRM, I'm down with that. You?
I'm trying to remember where the continuity started with Shaq and Show. I know, obviously, at
this year's WrestleMania.
You said there was wasn't there continuity beforehand, or is that for someone else?
Oh yeah, that was when the Big Show guest hosted Raw. I mean, not the Big Show, when Shaq guest hosted Raw a couple of years ago, and right, him and the Big Show got into it.
Yes, so there is a lot of continuity, Cindy. Right?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, about 6 years worth of continuity in a match that we never thought would see happen because this was teased. Back in 2011, wasn't there? This was going to be like the celebrity match for WrestleMania 27?
Something like that, because Shaq was still playing at the time.
Right.
It would have been better than the celebrity match we got at 27, but that's another issue for another day.
Right. So I want to just go back to a couple of questions since you were, gone for a while.
Full disclosure, I had a friend who I haven't seen in 3 years come over, so we chatted it for a little while.
Okay. So, Cena at the ESPYs, he killed, didn't he?
One of the best hosting things I've seen in a while. I got to agree with Dickie Heyman when it came to the Roger Goodell burn. Get out of my head.
That was really great. That was incredibly well done. Some of the video packages were great. Are you liking the Battleground card, per se, Cindy?
I think it's okay. It's shaping to be all right, but I have I'm a little wonky when it comes to a couple of things. I take that back. Now that I've actually seen the card, I'm out of it for a bit here. It seems like a really good card. I'm just worried about the execution from some of these matches.
Mm-hmm.
And there's... I can see four of them that I'm really worried about. You got your main event, which I'm really worried about, because is Vince still really upset at Reigns that he's going to not put the belt on him, or are we going to get the status quo again, which is Reigns back with the belt after a suspension? You have Cena, Enzo, you got CEC versus the club, which I'm kind of worried about as well. Are we going to get the equivalent of Enzo Cass becoming the new Crime Time, if it were. Because remember back when that happened, it was the Crime Time C Nation, that little short-lived stable, and how those Crime Time just fell off the map afterwards. Charlotte, Dana, Sasha, whoever, probably Bailey, because the pay-per-view, because the draft is before the pay-per-view, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so draft is on the 19th. So, you know, so interesting. Oh, and by the way, I have an update on the Brock Lesnar situation.
Oh,
okay.
Good.
Okay. According to the USADA database, and this is from PWI, Brock Lesnar has now been tested 8 times in total.
Wow.
He was at 6 before the fight when it was last updated, so he was tested twice since then. And they noted that even though Lesnar may not fight again, he will still continue to be tested as well to be considered under UFC contract until he notifies them of his retirement from UFC. So he's going to pass every damn time. Hell yeah. Okay. Right?
Oh yeah, he'll pass.
Oh yeah, he'll pass. He's the most natural, gifted, freakishly amazing athlete I've ever seen in my life.
And yet Hunt has no idea how he makes 265.
Who says this?
Mark Hunt had said he had no idea how Lesnar makes 265.
Because he's a freak of nature, that's why. The other thing we want to talk about, outside of the fact that Drake effing Younger got to referee that awesome Nakamura-Balor match, thank you very much. That was so good. Oh my god. So good. Any of you guys watch that one yet?
I did.
What do you think?
Mwah! C'est magnifique!
Okay.
It was really exciting and really entertaining to watch. It just defies words. I'll admit it's not as good as Nakamura Sami Zayn, but what is?
Yeah, exactly. So, but we had something else happen after that. Oh, boy. Excuse me. Work Rate Central. Excuse me. The IWC just got its dream program, didn't it, Brian?
What were you talking about?
Some guy named Ronaldo, some name named Brian. And
oh, that's right. The CWC.
But
yeah, you're right. My program got confused. Yes. The Cruiserweight Classic.
Did you get to see it yet?
I have not had the chance to see it. I've been busy with a lot of home stuff. I'm going to get to watch it this weekend. But, whoo boy, did WWE not hit it on the head with this? Because they are saying, you know what, okay, you guys like Ring of Honor? We'll do our own Ring of Honor in a big tournament.
Well, I'm asking you, VRM, did you see it?
I have not seen it yet. I've been...
Cindy, did you see it?
I haven't because I was busy all last night helping Mom pack.
Fine. Because I didn't see it either. I thought we'd have somebody who watched it this week. Oh.
Well, I got to see some clips from it, and first of all, kudos to WWE for, you know, getting guys outside of the company and bringing back old guys again. You know, that's something, again, WWE needed to do for this. And I thought it was an amazingly, I mean, the tournament looks really, really good. Now, I'm a little confused. What are they, like, do we know, like, what in storyline they're wrestling for?
I believe a contract, if I'm not mistaken. Correct, guys? I believe. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the announcers are Mauro Ranallo and Daniel Bryan with Corey Graves at the CWC Control Center. Okay. The opening match is Grand Metalik versus Alejandro Saez, and Grand Metalik wins. Ho Ho Loon defeated Aria Davari. Okay.
Who is Sean Davari's brother, I think.
Correct. And they are, by the way, they are also filming round two, and we are not going to spoil it. Thank you very much. Cedric Alexander, formerly of Ring of Honor, defeated Clement Pit Petrou, and and try this on for size. Sean Maluda lost to some guy named Kota Ibushi. I have heard this guy is the real deal.
He is, and he's had great matches. If you want to look up something amazing, look up Kota Ibushi stuff, Kenny Omega.
Uh-huh.
Excellent stuff.
Excellent stuff. And he's fighting Cedric Alexander in the second round.
Oof.
And in the second round, Ho Ho Lun is fighting the winner of the Noam Dar Gurshira match, and Metallic is going to fight the winner of Tajiri versus Damian Slater. Okay. So, in next week's card, Tajiri is fighting Damian Slater. TJ Perkins is facing the Mac. Mustafa Ali is facing Lince Dorado. And Akira Tozawa is facing Kenneth Johnson. Go watch that, shall we? Sit, please? Anybody? We'll be taking notes. And so will Mickey. One more thing I wanted to talk about before we sort of wrap this up here a little bit. Because I'm just trying to see if there's any, and I'll ask you if we missed anything here. You know this guy that we were talking about, how John Cena is following the Rock's mode of getting out of wrestling but going into acting, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Rock just was declared the highest paid actor in Hollywood. Try this. He made, I believe, in the last 12 months, according to Forbes magazine, $64 million.
Jeez.
And the funny thing is, he's hungrier than ever. That's the scary part, isn't it?
Well, I'm not really shocked, because how many movies was he in last year? What, four or five?
At least. I can look up the IMDb, which I will do. Okay. And he's also in, because, here we go, Dwayne Johnson's IMDb, okay? What he did last year, he was in, he was in Furious 7, San Andreas, and supposedly he was in Gem and the Holograms. I don't know how that happened. Those are the three big movies. And okay. Yes, exactly. And this year, he's in Central Intelligence, the second season of Ballers, and he's also in Moana. Okay. Next, which is going to make him a ton of money. And next year, he's filming Fast 8. He's in post-production for this movie, Baywatch, the R-rated version, and Journey to the Center of the Earth, Journey from the Moon to the Earth, I believe. So, and he's in pre-production for this movie called Jumanji.
Mm.
Yes, I know, don't ask. But still, the guy is the hungriest guy in show business, to the point where, and I actually have to find this because I think it's also pretty cool. Do you know the charity donation site Omaze, Omaze? Have you heard this? You've heard of it, right? Anybody?
Yeah, I have, yes.
Okay. So Omaze has got a little thing that that The Rock is doing right now. That if you donate a certain if you go to omaze.com/fast8 and donate money to the Paul Walker Foundation, anything from $10 on up, you will get entries up to win a trip to the set of Fast 8 to meet the rest of the cast, to look at the cars, be to flown to Atlanta, put up in a 4-star hotel. So, good on you, Rock. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supporting the Paul Walker Foundation. So, there you go. Oh, one more thing, Brian, you watched, I'm assuming, Ultima Lucha Dos Part Dos? Part
yes. All I'm going to say is the ending freaked me out because not only is Dario Cueto, there's a spoiler here, okay?
Okay.
Not only is Dario Cueto a sleazy nutcase with an insane monster for a brother, he's apparently now a murderer.
What did he do in the storyline?
Okay, in the storyline, Joey Ryan and this other wrestler are in fact undercover cops.
Okay.
Makes perfect sense to me. Joey Ryan is the perfect sleazy 70s cop.
Yeah, they kind of, and he even has the lollipop like Kojak.
Oh God. Okay.
Well, anyway,
so he's not Mr. Porn Star. He's Mr. Undercover Cop.
Yeah, and they have one of Dario's old acquaintances wear a wire, try to get some dirt on Cueto in his office. Cueto discovers he has a wire on, and the guy, by the way, he can't act to save his life, but he says, "What are they investigating me for? Is it murder?" And the guy says, "No, I don't think so." That's how he said it. Uh-oh. Cueto picks up the Red Bull. He goes, "Well, they're about to wham!" And kills him.
Wow.
Puts the bull statue back on his desk with blood dripping off. He grabs his phone and he goes, all he says is, "It's time." And you see blood dripping off of his hand.
Oh my God, okay. Yeah, that's a little weird. And then the conclusion, yes, that's why Lucha Underground is an incredible, over-the-top, crazy, nuts. Okay?
Kind of reminds me of what happened in TNA at Destination X.
Oh?
We have the Final Deletion aftermath.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this is weird. So, apparently, we finally figure out what Matt Hardy's portraying, and apparently it's Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
And after some vignettes, which you could... TNA's got them on their YouTube page. Look them up. They're mind-boggling, bad-acted, and kind of interesting. Matt Hardy comes out and cuts a promo on Brother Nero! And... apparently, Jeff now has no music, and like Game of Thrones, Rebby with child in hand yells at him, "Obsolete! Obsolete! Obsolete!" It's just pathetic. And Matt tells Nero that, "You are now my mule. My obsolete mule." So now we're going to get a storyline where Jeff is going to have to fight for his name back, and that will probably happen at Bound for Glory. Oh, and Moose is now signed with TNA.
Yes, yeah, Moose is now signed with TNA. VRM, did I miss anything?
Looking through the list. I do not see anything missing here.
All right, then let's go to some plugging. Cindy, we'll start with you. What do you got?
I just did a comedy show last week.
Okay.
It's Gay Uncle Time. It's called Swished on TV. I did a stand-up bit, went about 5 minutes, and then I had the post-interview where I made a really bold statement that I won't repeat because it might make you angry.
Okay.
But aside from that, I am starting a new video game review series on YouTube. It should be up Sunday. And you'll love this one. The 8-Bit Boys of Summer.
Okay.
Going over all the old NES baseball games in chronological order from baseball to Bases Loaded 4, which was the last NES baseball game.
Now, before we get to that, I'm going to come back to you, but Brian, boy, do we have something to talk about on Pixel Nation, don't we? Regarding NES. This is okay, shut up and take my money. I am putting that on a wish list. So, explain what NES announced this week.
Okay, Nintendo is releasing a miniature version of the original NES, that's going to come preloaded with 30 games, including Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3, and a host of others, with a controller being released this November for $60. Sold.
I really want one. I really do. No, I'm not joking. I'm not joking. I want this. Okay, I seriously want this. Back to you. One sec, Brian. Back to you, Cindy. Anything else specifically?
Yes. As you know, I still do Game Show Garbage, even though that's been on the back burner for a little while because of personal stuff. We have the Wayneys coming up. We have our list of six, and we're going to do something a little bit different this year.
What's that?
It's going to be taped Sunday, and we're going to have a panel discussion between myself, Chico Alexander, Jessica Brand, and Christian Carrion. And we are going to narrow down the six to three, and those three will be your finalists for this year's Wayney Award.
Would you like to talk about the six nominees?
I have the six nominees right here. Thankfully, I still have the chat up because we had to do some scrambling. Celebrity Food Fight is going to make the list. First Impressions.
Okay.
Political Idiot Test. The Price is Right Arch Rivals Show. To Tell the Truth with Anthony Anderson. I'm trying to find the...
And 500 Questions didn't make it because they already won, right?
No, 500 Questions didn't make it this year because they were nominated last year. They didn't get it. They could have been nominated, but there were six shows worse. Okay. What the hell was that sixth show?
If you say the $100,000 pyramid. Sorry, I'm joking around, Cindy.
Did I already say Price is Arch Rival Special?
Yes, you did.
Are You Smarter Than Fifth Grader 2.0? Yes, the revival of Fifth Grader nobody wanted and pretty much did everything worse this year.
Okay, all right, that's cool.
Slim pickings this year, we'll just say that, because... Let's be honest. This was a really fantastic year for game shows.
Amen.
Yes. And we will be talking. We just talked about that on, and I will segue, on WLTI. We talked about, we recorded that, I believe, last night. We talked about America's Got Talent. We talked about the week three of the game shows, our first $100,000 winner. We talked about Big Brother, America's Got Talent, as I said, and a bunch of other stuff going, you know, into sort of the summer doldrums a little bit. But we had enough to get through. Of course, we'll be talking Pixel Nation, Red State, Blue State. Whence Jim gets back. We miss you, Jim. We see you on there. I know you're trying. We've seen the videos. You know, you've Facebook Lived a couple of times. Get your butt home soon. We will talk... we had another terrorist attack, this time with a truck. I don't know if you saw about this tonight. In Nice, yep. France, 8 people were run over by this guy in France. Just horrific, horrific stuff. We're going to talk about Donald Trump potentially picking Mike Pence as the vice presidential nominee. Bernie supporting Hillary. The Black Lives Matter police shooting stuff. Once we get back on and once Jim is back, believe me, we got a lot to talk about. Pixel Nation, we're going to preview, you know, you've got stuff already. The Pokemon Go phenomenon hasn't stopped yet, but we're actually going to talk about sort of the dumb side of Pokemon Go, not because of the game, okay? But because of the idiocy of people, like, for example, if I may, Brian.
Okay. Please.
Do you really need to be told not to hunt for Pokemon at Auschwitz?
Or at the Holocaust Museum in Virginia. Or at Arlington National Cemetery.
Or at the 9/11 Memorial.
Yeah, I heard about these on Red Eye.
Oof. Well... Yeah, exactly. Just saying. But, yes, we'll be talking about that. Let's see. We've got other shows like BS Big Show, Touch 'Em All. DC Lungberg. Maybe Jim will be back next time around. If not, because baseball season starts again tomorrow. And by the way, hey, Brian, did you know that your boy Jake Arrieta was also one of the people in the body issue? Did you know that?
I did not, but he deserved it. He is making things look good for Chicago.
Yeah, but I'm just saying he posed bare ass, you know, naked in this issue. Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. We'll touch them all. As I said, BS Big Show, Pixel Nation, Red State Blue State, WLTI. This show, of course, will be back hopefully with Nikki next week. And of course, you can listen to all the programs here. Spectrum One, SpectrumOne.net, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, Player.fm, Overcast, iTunes, Google Play Music, and all the wonderful ways out there. Brian, you've got a couple of normal plugs you want to get into.
As per usual, Wrestling with Regret with Brian Zane. Great review he posted just today is the 8 worst draft picks in the history of WWE. Check that out on YouTube and the usual sources. Also, Out of the Archive by Ben Manat, theoutoftheArchive.com, pop culture ephemera at its finest. Please check it out. It's a great, amazing show. Great episode last week, and he has an episode coming up this week. He has posted and he has said it's going to be another edition of Record Ripoffs. So check that out as well. Also, Musical Hell by Christine Easterly. A great show I just checked out. I'm a fan of it. Has a great episode up called Know the Score, where they look at the score from the Disney musical, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Check that out. And just keep it tuned to Spectrum One. We've always got something new to talk about, and we hope you listen to it.
VRM, you?
I have nothing.
So, I will just say thank you, Carl, for allowing me to do this. Nikki, you know, you'll get back to, you know, from London real soon. And hopefully we'll be back in the host chair next week. If any other news happens, I don't know if we're going to do a live draft cast special. We may or may not. But who knows what's going to happen. It's going to be quite an interesting week here in wrestling next week. And we'll be here to find it out. For Carl Schneer, for Nikki Heyman, thank you. Cindy Seidelman, Brian Henniger, VRM, this is Jason Block saying, you know, I'm right here. We'll be back next week. Until then. Stay pony, my friends. Yeah, thank you.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.